We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Rabbeinu Yonah, and we are up to the second chapter. Finally, we made it. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, "Ezohi derech yishara sheyavol lo ha'adam." What is a straight path that a person should choose? Kol shitiferet lo se'a. All that is glory to he who performs it. V'tiferet lo min ha'adam. And it is glorious to him from man. V'vezeir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura. And be careful in a light mitzvah, as you would in a stringent mitzvah. She'en ata yodeh matan tzcharan shel mitzvot, for you do not know the wages of mitzvos. Ve'vem chashev efsed mitzvah keneged tzchara, tzchar avira, keneged efseda. And always calculate, what will it cost you? What will a mitzvah cost you compared to what the wages, what you'll get from it? And what are the benefits of a sin compared to what it will cost you in the world to come? Look with intent at three things, and you won't come to the hands of sin. Da, you should know. What's above you? Ein roa, there's an eye that sees. Ve'ozen shomat, there's an ear that hears. Ve'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim, and all your actions are written in the book. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Rabbi Omer zoi derech yishara sheyavor lo adam kol sheitiferet lo oseha ve'asot ha-mitzvot ha-kadosh bochum mefa'ar bahen ve'en tiferet lo osehen ki tiferet ha-mitzvot hi tiferet amitit bivnei adam ve'lachen yivro la'atzmo ha-derech ha-hi. When you're choosing a path, so by doing the mitzvos, so that's glorifying God, and that's also glorifying the person. Because the glory of doing mitzvos is the true glory that man can attain in the world. So here he's really alluding to two interpretations. He's saying, when we say choose the path that's gloryful to he who makes it, so you can understand that's talking about the man who chooses that path. You can understand it's talking about God who made that path. And he says both. Okay, I'm not sure how he sees that over here. Maybe he's trying to connect the two ideas. V'tiferet lo min ha'adam, and it is glorious for him among men. She'asa mitzvot bizmanan. Now, this is key. When is it glorious to do mitzvah? At its right time. Go today, shake a lulav and esrog and shul. Everyone will look at you funny, right? Not so glorious. The last time I was here, they were shaking lulav and esrog, right? Okay. Last time. You got to get it at the right time. Shnei mav deval b'tom ha'tov, as the verse says, you do things at the right time. How good? A person could do things at a time that's not fitting when people look at him. And then there's no glory. A guy standing in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and he yells out, Shema! Yeah, you've been to shul like that? Okay, so no, ain't going to gain him any glory, right? So he's saying part of the glory is to get the right time. So that's not doing a mitzvah completely. If you get it at the wrong time, our sages taught that anyone who does a mitzvah the way it was ordained, even if he had a decree of 70 years to suffer in this world, it'll annul that decree. The verse in Ecclesiastes says, the king is in charge, and who could tell him what to do? And then the next verse says, he who watches over a mitzvah won't encounter anything evil, won't encounter anything bad. So our sages understood the two to be connected. You want to know who's going to tell God what to do? He who watches over the mitzvah to get it at the right time, he, so to speak, will tell the king not to do something that's bad. Gam tzrich litnot b'mitzvot. So you want the mitzvahs to be gloryful. First of all, get them right. Get them at the right time. Secondly, one should try to make the mitzvahs beautiful. Lulav nae, when you buy a lulav, get a nice one. Talit nae, you wear a talis, get a nice one. Sefer Torah nae, you should have a nice Sefer Torah. Tfilin v'chaytzeben, you get tfilin, you should have nice tfilin. Binyan shefaru bnei adam yishapru alehin. People should look at that and say, wow, what a beautiful tfilin, what a beautiful Sefer Torah, talis, etc. Yes?
We just read about, you know, annulling evil decrees on ourselves because of this. I would assume that people are doing some mitzvah, you know, all the time, very well. You know, this guy's always comes, you know, pray Shema with the tzibur and everything right, but there's still obviously negative things that happen to people. So how do we understand this? Say, like, this is the rule, except when it's not, like, or it's just hyperbole, or I don't know what to make of just said.
I just want to remember who I'm quoting. Give me a second. I'm just trying to remember. So I don't remember. I don't remember if it's Rabbeinu Yonah. One of the Rishonim writes, it's Tosfos in, it's Tosfos either in Tanis or Moed Katan. I don't remember. It's a Tosfos, what I'm about to tell you. Tosfos says, should be in my, no. Tosfos and Shabbos, I'm sorry. Tosfos and Shabbos says the following, that when we say, a mitzvah, for example, gets the Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what Tosfos is discussing there. The Gemara over there compares Kares with Misa B'dei Shamayim. So we have two terms in the Torah, and then our sages discuss them. One is the Torah says about certain sins a person will get the death penalty at the hands of heaven. Another one is the Torah says, Hikares tikares hanefesh ahi, that soul will be cut off. So the Talmud compares the two and says that Kares is more severe than Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what the Talmud says over there in Tractate Shabbos. And so Tosfos goes into discussion what exactly is Kares and what is Misa B'dei Shamayim, which is really, Kares is discussed in the Talmud in Moed Katan, and the two of them are discussed in the Jerusalem Talmud, which Tosfos over there quotes. So Tosfos says the following idea. Tosfos says, we know that ordinarily a person is weighed. Their mitzvos versus their sins. Let's say on Rosh Hashanah, a person's weighed, and it's decided what type of year he's going to have. Then a person does a sin about which the Torah says there is the death penalty at the hands of heaven, Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Tosfos says what that means is that although ordinarily a person is weighed in an inclusive form, everything he's done is weighed, this versus that, but some sins carry a weight that they're not weighed against something else. That it says in heaven that ordinarily for doing this, he will die before his time, so to speak. That's a Misa B'dei Shamayim. So that's how Tosfos explains the idea of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So I think that gives us a certain insight that sometimes when we say that a certain mitzvah or a certain aveira is meritorious or the opposite of that, so then what we mean to say is that on its own it carries a weight in this realm. Meaning ordinarily, a person is gauged as a whole, and as a whole, it's decided what his future is going to be. But sometimes you have specific sins which yell out regarding specific aspects of life. You have specific mitzvot which carry specific weights, and you have specific sins. You see, the Talmud says that Micha used to take in guests and used to be warm and inviting, and he would feed anyone who passed by his house. And as such, he was spared, even though he initiated paganism and ultimately caused a whole tribe to perform idol worship. Nonetheless, he was spared because he had this act of kindness that was so prevalent in his home. So you see, a mitzvah can have an overbearing weight on the general calculation of a person's life. It goes both ways. Specific mitzvot and specific sins carry extraordinary weights with regard to specific punishments or benefits. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other stipulations and calculations, right? Just like you come to a doctor tells you, you know, you eat a diet that's high in cholesterol, then that's bad for you because of A, B, and C. And then you say, yeah, but I my cholesterol's fine, even though my diet's high in such and such. So he tells you, right, that's because you're also eating this, that, and the other thing, and the good cholesterol counters the bad cholesterol, etc., etc. So in all of life, we see that there are general rules, and then there are modifications to the general rules, because in certain respects, the whole picture does affect the specifics. But in general, what we say is that specific mitzvot or avirot carry specific weights in specific realms. And when Chazal tell us that the fact that a person does a mitzvah the way he should, he can annul a decree of 70 years, so that's telling you that although ordinarily to annul such a decree, you would have to attain a very high level, you'd have to really daven and do a million things to get it. But here you have one mitzvah that has extraordinary weight in that realm. Does that mean you'll always be successful? No. You could do this mitzvah and you won't be successful, because there are other sins that overweigh that, right? So there's a general calculation up in heavens which we don't understand. But there's still this understanding. You should just know in this realm, this helps very much. And we see it in our day-to-day life as well. You know, it says certain mitzvot, or in health, they tell you, olive oil is good for so many things. Good for your digestive system, and it's good for the immune system, and it's good for your brain, and it's good to keep you young, and it's good against Alzheimer's. They have a whole slew of things. Garlic is good for a whole slew of things. Okay, now does that mean if you do this, you won't get that? No, it means it carries a special weight in many areas, right? Garlic keeps your cholesterol low, it fights infection, etc., right? Okay, does that mean if you eat garlic, you won't get infections? No, it means it carries a strong weight in that realm. Okay, so the same is true here. It's not like this is a certain guarantee. You do this, you're free for life, right? Yeah?
Just on the same subject, to me it could sound a little misleading, because normally we're taught that the key to getting back in Hashem's so-called friend, good graces, you know, is tshuva. And here it's almost like it would seem for unintentional sins. If you didn't know any better, you didn't know kosher Shabbos much, but you did something like lulav with a great mitzvah, tzedakah, whatever it was, then it could seem that's the way the system is set up. But as it almost seems like bypassing tshuva, you know, almost like, and I don't understand it fully, because it's one of the, you know, growing up in a very, you know, multi-ethnic society, you know, Catholic friends as kids, you know, would go to the priest and say confession and, you know, absolve. Even if it isn't sincere, but let's say that it is sincere. This idea that you can bypass something so essential and gain, it's I don't know, it's a little bit, I understand what you're saying, that some things carry certain weight and they do it, but it shouldn't be or misconstrued like as a recommendation. If you want to do this mitzvah fully, I don't have to get straight with him who I robbed. I can get a beautiful ulula.
We said one thing. We said you do a mitzvah right, that can annul a decree for 70 years. We didn't say you'll get the world to come. We didn't say you won't get punished for other things. We didn't say other things. So I'm saying so. It could be it'll annul that decree, but then he'll still have to pay in other ways for, you know, it annuls one thing. It doesn't mean it covers everything, right?
Yeah, like the Ashrei statement, you know, if you say Ashrei three times, you have to look up. I thought about it. I said, that sounds so bizarre, but then I actually said, whoever did ask me every day in their life three times, it'd be hard. And if you're on that level, you probably have a lot of the good stuff going.
Okay, but still, it doesn't mean that you're getting to the highest level. It means you're getting there. Okay.
The world to come is pretty good. Automatic share in the world to come.
Every Jew has an automatic share in the world to come.
They say, but then they also have karas. You have to combine it. I think we have a share as part of the collective, obviously, right? But as an individual, I don't know. That's what I was
thinking. So the commentaries say a share, you know. You have a portion. It's like going to the opera and getting a seat all the way back. You barely see the figures moving, right? Okay, you got there. Fine. You made it. You got in. It's still the aura. It's still the... It's still... You got something out of it, but, you know...
Doesn't mean that you should aspire for that taxi.
Right. I'm saying just... That's not enough. A Kiva, you put up the sign, right?
Yeah, do you want me to go check it?
No? Okay, we'll finish and then we'll go. V'ramzal pirei zot ha-mishnah, l'amidot la-sotan al derech ha-mtzitshu derech ha-muvchar. Maimonides explains that this Mishnah is talking about the golden path, doing things in a balanced way. V'tivert lo-seha, she-mechina lev-tor la-adam u-mechadeshet bekirbo ruach nechona. The idea of the right path being gloryful for the one who performs it is that it prepares one's heart to be pure, and then it rejuvenates within him a correct spirit so that he can do things right. You maintain the correct path, you maintain the balanced path, so that develops one in the right direction. V'tifelet lo min adam, what does it mean? It's glorious to him among men. Shem lamdato linog mabiyot minag tov minae. The idea is that this path will teach him to behave with people in a good way. Kmo midat andivut, just like the Rambam says, if we're going to take two extremes, kilechili lo yomar shua, gam apizur ha yeroa. The Rambam says you have two extremes. You have a person who is too giving. You have a person who is too stingy. Umi o anadiv, ach haohev et hamamon v'shomer oto shmira meula umityetz bendivut. ועושה סדר בהוצאות כדי שיספיק לו לעשות הטוב והישר במקום הראוי להינתן בו. So the Rambam, going with the Rambam's a classical approach, the Rambam says, you need balance, that means a person shouldn't spend, a person should be careful where he spends, and a person, notice the Rambam's wording, who loves money, and watches over his money. It's interesting to note that Chazal didn't expect a pious person to hate money, on the contrary. They said a pious person loves his money because he's so meticulous about earning it honestly. So it's much harder to come by. And so he has a greater affinity for his money, obviously in a balanced way. And that's what the Rambam says. A person thinks clearly where he should be generous, and then he arranges his assets to figure out where he should spend. And this way he can do good and be honest where it's fitting. Gam en midot tachat hashamayim ki im al derech ha-emtzait. And the Rambam, going with his approach, says the only path under heaven is the balanced path, the middle road. Ve'hen tiferet lo min ha-adam. So the Rambam says that's the path that Rebbe was talking about when he said choose a path that's most glorious among humanity. That's the balanced path. Ach im me'at ve'im arbeh shnehem le'mecha. The Rambam says going to either extremity is bad. People think if I'm extra generous, that's good. The Rambam says, no, the balanced path is that. Now, one of the things we have to ask ourselves, be it the Rabbein Yonah or the Rambam, how broad is this path? Meaning, according to the Rambam, it certainly sounds that he's shooting for something very specific. And it doesn't seem too broad. According to the Rabbein Yonah, it seems there's much more breadth. We have to ask ourselves, when Rebbe began, so there are a few questions on the Mishnah. Number one, is he only talking to Jews? We discussed last night the Netziv that says that Koheles was written for the masses. And so we have to wonder, we would think he's talking to the Jews, but some of the commentaries point out, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says that in Tanakh, whenever we have the word Ha-Adam, it is encompassing of all of humanity. Adam is only the Jewish people. Ha-Adam means all of humanity, all of Homo sapiens. So then, the Mishnah spoke about what's the glorious path, what's the path that Ha-Adam, that general man, should choose, right? Rabbeinu Yonah certainly doesn't sound like he's giving advice to all of humanity. Doing the mitzvahs at the right time, doing them in a glorious fashion, doesn't sound like he's talking to all of humanity. The Rambam, on the other hand, sounds like he's talking to all of humanity to maintain a balanced life, the golden path. He even quotes from the non-Jewish philosophers. And secondly, what path are we talking about? Meaning, I know I have to keep 613. So if we're talking to the Jewish people, what's Rebbe talking about when he says, which path should you choose? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, okay, here's how you perform mitzvot. The Rambam says, no, we're talking about traits. We're not talking about mitzvot. So there's a very big difference between Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah's approach to the Mishnah. It's interesting that Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Rambam. He approves of the Rambam's approach. So that as we continue the Mishnah, we'll have to keep exploring that. Because the continuation of the Mishnah speaks about how careful we should be with regards to mitzvot. So there I understand we're talking to the Jewish people. But the question is that defining for the first part of the Mishnah? Meaning, is it two separate sentences? When Rebbe says, choose How do you choose a path? If it's glorious to he who performs it and glorious to him among men. And be careful about a light mitzvah like a heavy mitzvah. Are the two connected? So Rabbeinu Yonah could learn they're connected because the first part of the Mishnah he learned was about how to perform mitzvot. According to the Rambam, we're going to be hard-pressed to learn that the two are connected. We'll pick up here, B'zachem, next week.